Let's see what happens.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'll just get off of the spell line, and because I don't know what's going on. Okay. I don't know that I can do that. Is my username breaking free? Okay. Okay, then I've got the radio people's chat room open, which I don't really need, right? Let's see. Okay, am I supposed to say speak now or when the music goes on? Even when the music goes on? Okay. Okay, this is Lori. This is Lori Coburn with Blog Talk Radio. This is my first time, so if you hear weird stuff, that's because I don't know how to use the system yet. And I didn't know I was supposed to speak when the music was on. So tonight we are going to be talking about Twin Flames as it relates to the movie Bridges of Madison County. The call-in number is 917-932-8881 or 877-218-1183. That's 917-932-8881. And first I'd like to go over a little bit about what twin flames and soulmates are to give you some background, and then we will talk about how it relates to the movie Bridges of Madison County. There's a distinction between twin flames and soulmates. And what that is that you have about half a dozen soulmates in your life, and those are people with which you have a very deep connection. They're very important people in your life journey and your life lessons. Some may be companion soulmates where you get along very well with them. Others may be more challenging and present you with major forgiveness lessons that you have to learn. Others may be karmic soulmates where they've come in from other lifetimes and there's a playing field to be leveled or a score to be evened. And those might be the extra super challenging ones. The difference between soulmates and twin flames is that twin flames represent the other half of your soul. It's almost as if the egg split in half and two sides went off on their own paths to make their way back to God. So they are two separate beings, and yet there is this urge, this call for these halves to reunite. That's the twin flame, and that's the essence of a lot of love stories and all these things about this reunion with God. There are a lot of definitions of twin flames out there, so you will find different ones, and you have to go with a definition that works best for you. But the definition I like to use is that the twin flame can appear in a person, a separate person in your life, and if that person leaves your life, you can also still access the twin flame energy through your own higher self, because ultimately you are your own twin flame, because the goal is to get back to who you really are as your higher self, your God self, as a whole being. The twin flame path is a path that is like any path in life that leads you to an end result. Different people have different paths. Some people, their path back to God, to themselves, is through their children. Other people, it's through their career. Other people, it's through their health. And some people have their path back to their wholeness through relationships, through soulmate relationships, and through twin flame relationships. Twin flame relationships tend to be very rare, but they're becoming more common as people are evolving. And when this is your path, it's different than your run-of-the-mill relationship. And one of the reasons I'm doing this show is because I was a psychotherapist for 25 years, and most psychotherapists do not understand the difference between a twin flame relationship and your everyday marriage or typical soulmate relationship. It's quite different and quite a lot more intense. And if you go to a therapist who doesn't understand that, you are going to be labeled codependent, unhealthy, overly attached, when really what's happening is you are following your soul's quest, your calling to reunite with this person. And the difference between a codependent, dysfunctional relationship and a twin flame or soulmate relationship that's getting healed is that when you get healthy and you work through your issues around your low self-esteem or your issues around your mom or your dad, if it's just a typical relationship and you get healthy, that relationship will either get healthy with you or it will just go away. So as you get healthy, that relationship, if it's been troubled, will often disappear. With a twin flame relationship, the more healthy you get, the more deeply that twin flame comes into your being, into your soul, into your heart, even if you do not have physical contact with that person. So it's very different. For example, a typical therapist may say, well, as you get healthy, you'll stop thinking about this person. If it's your twin flame, you will not stop thinking about that person. That person comes more deeply into your being. The other thing is, with a soulmate type of relationship, if the relationship hasn't met its lessons or its quest, then the relationship won't tend to go away until that lesson has been learned. Sometimes with soulmates, they are in your life for a period of time until the lesson has been learned, and then they may leave your life when that lesson, say a forgiveness lesson or a lesson in your self-esteem, has been learned. However, that doesn't mean they're cut off from your soul, because there's still that bond even if they're not in your life anymore. So again, these people tend to remain very important to you, very important in your soul, in your being, for your entire lifetime. So that is an overview of what soulmates and twin flames are. And Michelle, the owner of this network, Poetic Energy Network, and I had an interview a couple weeks ago where we fleshed out those ideas for over an hour. So I'm just giving you a 10-minute summary here. So that leaves a lot of questions to be opened. But now I would like to go into the movie Bridges of Madison County and talk about how that shows up there. For those of you who have seen the movie, you know that it starts out with Meryl Streep's character, Francesca, leaving a will that says she wants her ashes thrown off this particular bridge. And her kids are saying, what in the world? Now we're not going to have a place where Mom is buried, where we can go visit her. We don't like this idea. And so she has left all these papers and letters and mementos to explain her strange request. The request is related to 4 days in her life 20 years prior, where she met this man, Robert Kincaid, played by Clint Eastwood, who came through town on a National Geographic photography mission to photograph the covered bridges of Madison County, Iowa. So what happens is her family at that point is out of town at a state fair, her husband and her two kids. She meets this guy and, completely out of character, has an affair with him. And that affair completely changes her life and her whole perspective on life. She writes her memoirs because she states that as she gets older, She wants her kids to know who she really was inside and how she held all that in for 20 years because she made the choice, rather than going with this man, she made the choice to stay with her family and raise her family or continue raising her family, even though her kids were, one was, I think, almost graduated and the other one was 16 and almost out of school. So she never left them. And she says in these letters that she didn't leave her family because she felt like her duty was to her children and to her husband, and she just couldn't do that no matter how much she loved this guy. So that's the general outline of the movie. And I'd like to go over some particulars of the movie so that we can look at the dynamics in twin flame relationships and how they are different than regular relationships. And feel free to call in with your questions. The call-in number, again, is 917-932-8881 or 877-218-1183. There's a voiceover at the beginning of the film where you can hear Clint Eastwood's voice saying, "It's clear to me we'd been moving toward these 4 days together our whole lives." I would call that a typical twin flame relationship statement, because what happens when you meet your twin flame is you recognize that that is the entire purpose for your whole life. I have had a client one time who used to tell me that he knew he was here for something, but he just did not know what. And then his eyes were opened to this woman he had worked with for a long time, but he had just been acquaintances with her. And when he ended up getting with her in a relationship, he said, "This is why I'm here." And he knew it in his soul, and he knew it in his being. And this woman felt like the other half of his soul. And so the twin flame relationship takes on a life of its own, and it becomes central to the person's life, more than just any ordinary relationship. For example, I was talking to a good friend of mine today who is in a soulmate relationship with her husband, but it's not the twin flame path. It's more of a situation where she has her quest in life. Her path is her spiritual quest. His path is his career. And they, as soulmates, are there to support that for each other. But that twin flame quest to find God through each other and through their relationship with each other is not their central thing. So what happens when you get into a twin flame relationship is that all of your God love, all of your higher self comes out. And the pitfall is that all of your negative stuff comes out too. All of your darkness comes out, which is what makes it a path that can be very difficult. And most twin flames crash and burn. The relationships never make it, just like in this movie, The Bridges of Madison County. Because people cannot handle the intensity, they don't know what to do with it, they don't even know what is happening to them. And when they go to therapy, they're just called overly attached or dysfunctional, or they're acting out something from their childhood and transferring it on to this new person. If it's not understood for what it is, as a calling, as a separate thing that is leading you back to your God self, then it's completely misinterpreted and people don't know what to do with it. And one of the things that happens when people meet their twin flame is they, if they do decide to either have an affair or leave their current marriage or go off with this new person, it becomes often like a Romeo and Juliet type of thing, where the families are feuding or there is something in the way that is an obstacle. And I am writing a book on this, about the hero's journey in the soulmate path. And the hero's journey is a journey we all have to go on to find our true self. We make our way through the obstacles of life to come out the other side and find out who we really are, what our true self is. And the hero's journey in the twin flame relationship would present as obstacles such as one or both of the people are already married, or they come from different cultures. I've wondered myself if when Princess Diana met the guy she was with when she was killed, that guy that was culturally so different from hers, and here she was a person who was a peacemaker, and his family made their wealth through guns. She had actually called Brian Weiss, the man who wrote Only Love is Real, who writes about twin flames and soulmates and past life relationships. He's a New York doctor who has done lots of research on this. And in his book, Only Love is Real, Through Time into Healing, Many Lives, Many Masters, shows these lifetime connections that come in and out of life. I often wondered if Princess Diana and that guy were twin flames. I don't know, because she contacted him, though, because obviously it was something that she experienced that she had never experienced anything like that before. And I actually think that the way they got killed, in one sense, was a little bit better. They died together. They didn't have to deal with all of the traumas and what their relationship might have brought up from people condemning them or saying this was bad or how could she go with someone like that or how did that work. So I don't know if that was the case or not, but in one sense, I could look at it like maybe they were spared a lot of heartache, because it's not easy when you enter into a relationship that a lot of people condemn. And that's one of the reasons in Bridges of Madison County why Meryl Streep's character, Francesca, chose not to leave her husband. They show scenes in the movie where they walk into this small Iowa town and they walk into this cafeteria, and the local adulteress who had been caught having an affair with this guy walks in, and the cafeteria goes silent and everyone's staring at this woman like she's just the worst scum in the world. And she gets all this ostracism and criticism. And so it's a thing where Francesca was in this Iowa town and she said, I can't do this. I can't do this to my family. I can't do this to my husband. They'll never get over it. One of the reasons she gave for not leaving her husband was he's been farming this farm for, his family's been farming for 100 years. I can't do this to him. That's not right. It would destroy him. He would never recover. Now, there's another way we could look at that and say, is that really true? Why did she meet the Clint Eastwood character, Robert Kincaid? Why did he come into her life? Was she meant to stay with her husband, or was she meant to leave? I don't know the answer to that. And that's an individual choice everyone has for themselves. In the twin flame idea, though, there's a thought that it's possible she needed to break past her fear, because she gave fear, fear, fear as the reason she was not leaving. And sometimes you can say, well, what a good person she was. She was loyal to this man and she didn't want to leave him. You could look at it on the flip side as well. She was frightened. She didn't know how to handle it. She didn't want to take the risk to go forward with her own life and truly live. She had come over to the United States from Italy when she met her husband in the Army. So she took this huge risk, came over. She thought she was marrying this dashing American soldier. And so she comes over and then finds herself in this small town in Iowa on a farm. And she's bored to tears. She can't stand it. She's not alive. And she feels dead inside. And so was she given an opportunity by the universe to change this and to really live? And did she turn that opportunity down? Or was it the right thing to stay loyal to her husband and to her kids? Or another way of looking at it would be, her kids would have been out of school in 2 years. And the Clint Eastwood character, Robert Kincaid, said, your kids are almost grown. They'll be okay. Your husband will be fine. He'll manage. He will learn. And the Clint Eastwood character said, I will say this to you. This opportunity only comes once in a lifetime. And of that, I am absolutely sure. And that is often the case. A lot of times we get these opportunities in our lives, and it's about the choices we make around those that determine the entire rest of our lives. And do we really want to live, or do we want to die inside? And one of the things that Francesca says in her memoirs as her kids are reading them at the end, she said, and I held to this memory of Robert all my life, and if I didn't have that memory in my heart of his love and what we shared, I could never have endured the next 20 years on this farm. Well, what do you think of that? If you want to call in and give your opinion, be happy to have you. 917-932-8881 or 877-218-1183. A lot of that, what you think of that, would depend on your personal values, how you were raised. She was raised as a person that when you got married, you devoted your life to your kids, and your life ended. She says that in the movie. That was her path. That was what she needed to do. So was this twin flame thing offered to her as a challenge to stick and stay close to her values and to honor the person she really felt she needed to be? Or was it offered to her as a way of breaking out and really truly living her life? I don't know the answer to that, and I suppose you could argue both sides. Kincaid was a photographer who went all around the world for National Geographic, and he lived a free lifestyle. He would comment in the movie that he didn't believe in the way that the American culture made people prisoners in the family structure. He thought that was ridiculous. He didn't think it was a way to live. He thought that people, rather than truly loving each other, stayed out of obligation and stayed because they were too afraid to truly live. So what do you think about that? Is that true? Is it loyalty that's good, or is it loyalty that's masking fear, like he took that position? When he asked Francesca to go away with him, he said, come with me, come away with me. Your family will make it. She said, I can't do that. My daughter is going to learn about love, and what kind of message am I giving her if I leave her dad? Later on in the film, you see as the daughter is reading her mom's messages that she says, well, I've stayed in this crummy marriage for 20 years because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And she makes this decision as she's reading her mom's memoirs to leave her husband. So Francesca thought, oh, I'm doing my daughter a favor by showing her how you stay loyal in a marriage. And what she was really giving her daughter was this sense of obligation and commitment and staying crummy. So I think I'm supposed to answer a phone call here, but I'm not sure exactly how to do that. Let me see if how this works. I don't know. I apologize for this. I'm trying to unmute this, but I don't know exactly how to do this, so I apologize. So I'll just keep talking. Oh, okay. Okay. I think you're on the air, 734 person.
Yes, Kathy. It's Michelle. I'm just calling
Hi, Michelle.
To say you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I did want, I did have a question in, or with a question in, and a comment with regards to what you're talking about with the twin flames, because I know you came onto the show as a featured guest not too long ago.
Right.
And I heard you speak earlier about the twin flames relationships are is relationships that really don't normally last. They always go through this crash and burn period. And that is something that I would like for you to expound on a little bit more. But, you know, is there a particular reason why, other than the intensity, because it could be something else associated with that as to why those type of relationships don't work, but they're so close and so it seemed like they're so meant to be together. Why do they crash and burn?
They don't all crash and burn. The majority of them crash and burn because people aren't mature enough to handle that intensity. You're more likely to make a twin flame relationship work if you meet the person later on in life when you've done a lot of your own personal growth work and you have a very solid sense of yourself and good self-esteem. So they don't have to crash and burn. But what you do need to recognize is that because the energy is so intense, the fights between a twin flame are absolutely devastating. The separation when twin flames are separated feels far more intense and devastating than in your average relationship. One of the things that Francesca says in the movie is that if she and Robert Kincaid are separated physically, they truly are never separate because he's always in her being. But if she and her husband were apart, then all that they had would vanish as well. So she didn't have the soulmate or the intensity with her husband that she did with Kincaid, so that it can just be really difficult to manage those feelings. So, for example, if you have low self-esteem and you're jealous, then with your twin flame, you're going to be jealous times 100, and you're going to feel so threatened that you might pick a lot of fights, and you might actually destroy the relationship with your jealousy rather than being able to take in your twin flame's love.
Oh, wow. That's definitely something to explore, I would think, because a lot of people don't realize that's what's going on, because not many people know about the twin flames, or and I was one of those persons.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certainly looking forward to connecting with my twin flame.
Well, I think at this point in your life, there is a very high chance that it would go very well for you, because you're a developed person. So the only thing you would need to look out for is just that one of the keys to any relationship is that when you're mad at the other person, it's always something about yourself. And you have to look within first. And that doesn't mean the other person's not doing stuff that you might negotiate with them to change or compromise on. But the way real change happens in relationship is by looking at your own issues and not projecting your issues onto the other person. I'll give you an example of that. For example, if a woman does not feel beautiful within herself and she gets mad at her husband for not complimenting her enough, or if she thinks he doesn't want to have sex with her, or she thinks he's looking at another woman, she first needs to go in herself and learn to feel beautiful herself without depending on her husband to give that to her. But what happens in all relationships, this is not just with twin flames or soulmates, is that instead of looking at her own need to feel good about herself, she's going to pick a fight or get mad at him and say, "You looked at that woman," or "You don't treat me like a princess enough," or she might go off spending money or something, or get herself consumed in her work because she's mad at him, rather than face that she's really hurt and mad at herself. So it comes out in marital issues when it's really a personal individual issue. And so then when you have it with a twin flame, magnify that by 100 And it gets really difficult.
Wow. It's just really interesting. I'm just really fascinated. I'm glad you're doing the show on this, because I imagine as you have other discussions about it that more and more people will feel more intrigued by the conversation, because it's something that is not highly, you know, talked about as it probably
right.
should be.
Right. It's not real well known. And in fact, I've just been formulating this stuff myself recently as I decided to write these books about it. And I've been involved in my twin flame relationship for 25 years and am just now figuring it out because there's not that much stuff out there. So I feel like as far as the mission goes, often twin flames have a mission together. And what I look at was that for me, one of my missions, one, was to forgive this man and to realize that it was a big part of my spiritual path to recognize that everything I thought he did to me was really my own projection. So to wake up spiritually to taking total responsibility for my life, I study the Course in Miracles, which says that we're dreaming our lives, and everything that happens to us is our own dream, and the only way to come back to our higher self, to have complete and permanent peace, is to take back all of our projections that we have dumped on everybody else, and to come into complete and total love for ourselves, and that's the way we love everybody else. And so my issues with my twin flame were about learning to completely open up and love, as well as now I think a lot of being in the second half of my life, going into serving humanity through writing these books and sharing this information.
Do you think there's ever a time where the other twin flame, if you're aware, just say for instance, I'm speaking of myself, is there ever a time you believe that the other person that you presume is your twin flame is not aware of what the twin flame issue is all about, or not, you know, aware of what's really going on with them?
Yeah, I think that can be very possible. I think at some level they're aware. I don't think you can not be aware. But what a lot of people try to do is turn it off or feel like somehow they shouldn't pursue it, or some people actively resist it and fight it and run away. There's a very common syndrome with twin flames, which is called running, that one of the partners or both will run away, and often run away screaming crazy mad. Like, have you seen the movie Walk the Line?
No, I have not.
Oh, that's a really wonderful movie, and it's about Johnny Cash and June Carter. They were twin flames, and in the movie, it's just a wonderful movie. You should watch it. It's just great. But, and you know what? My lights just flashed, so if I go off, it means my internet went off. That's unusual here, so I hope that doesn't happen. But in Walk the Line, what's happening is Johnny Cash is a drug addict, and he's a drug addict because he's a drug addict. He was in the music industry, and that's what a lot of them do. And June Carter kept saying, I'm not going to be with you if you're using drugs, which was very healthy for her to do. But the part where she wasn't owning up to it was she was running away from her love for him, because it scared the hell out of her, because she was like this woman in Bridges of Madison County. She was a Christian girl. She was very respectable. She was married. She met Johnny Cash and was very ashamed of being attracted to somebody else. And so people will deny it, and they'll put it down, and they'll say, I can't marry you because, I can't be with you because. And in the movie, Johnny Cash keeps confronting her and saying, you're running away. And she even actually got married to somebody else to run away from her feelings for him. So it's common for people not to be honest with themselves about it, or, to feel it but not really want to go there.
Okay. I am just so glad that you explained that to me, because I do believe that I am experiencing that right now, those same type of emotions and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But I won't go into on the air about it in much detail.
But as you're mentioning, it can be very intense. And when you start experiencing those emotions, and this movie, Bridges of Madison County, shows how intense it is. It's like, oh, my gosh, like one of the lines in the movie is, you never expect to find a love like this. You just, it's, and when it happens to you, you flip out.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, but actually, if you just go within and get quiet and follow your inner guidance about how to proceed, you will be given guidance on this. And it sounds like you're trying to do that. Just take it slow.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I am. You read me well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to fall back, and if someone else has some questions, they can do so.
Okay, I'll give the call-in number again. It's 917-932-8881, or I guess international would be 877-218-1183. And we're talking about Twin Flames and the Bridges of Madison County movie. As the movie opens up and they're looking at her, the mother's will and her papers, it's an interesting way they show the movie, because the son is very upset that his mom had an affair. And, of course, they never knew about it until she died. And the daughter is more open-minded. So in this movie, they show the contrasting opinions and ways of approaching this quite well. The son hears about this man, Robert Kincaid, and says, "Robert, what? Who is that? I'll kill him. Why don't you just burn those letters?" And he's very angry at first. And she writes all this stuff and says, "I'm hoping that as you read this stuff, you will actually start to maybe even like the guy, Robert Kincaid." And when she writes that, her son, Michael, just snorts and says, "Oh, yeah, right. Like, I'm going to like this guy that was trying to be a home wrecker." And that is a very common thing. I'm glad they showed that in the movie, because what happens with twin flames and soulmates, and I've had these kinds of cases in my practice, they're so much in love, and they just want the people around them to see what it was all about. And that's one of the things that Francesca says in her memoir. "I want to be known. I want people to understand what this was, that it was really a beautiful thing and not just some torrid affair that meant nothing, or just a one, you know, a three or four night stand. It wasn't like that. And will people understand?" And that, again, is the type of thing that is often not understood. It's seen as a violation. Even to the people closest to you, her own son saw it initially, and he changes his tune by the end of the movie. But people see it as insulting. And the son says at one point, like, "Wow, you mean Mom really had sex? It's like, why did she have to have sex with this guy? And I don't like thinking of my mom as being sexual. And I kind of had this fantasy that she never had sex with Dad after having me, because I was the prince of the family, so she didn't need that anymore." And so it shows all these different dynamics of how different people react to different things, and how everyone is coming from their own point of view, their own needs, their own opinions, and how it affects them. So while the twin flames are feeling this incredible connection and incredible love, they can be getting arrows slung at them from all different directions. And that's what Francesca was afraid would happen. If she ran off with this guy, she was afraid that her kids and her husband would get all these arrows slung at them, and not be able to cope with it. And she didn't want to do that to her family, which actually was a very loving thing to do. Now, I always thought, well, why didn't she just wait until both of the kids had graduated and then go? Because it seemed to me like she was just hiding behind that thing and not having the courage to face her life. She could dream, but she couldn't act. She had done it once and been disappointed. She had come across the ocean to America and been very disappointed. And then she was afraid of taking risks again. And do we really want to do that? Is that how we want to live? Do we really live if once we stop taking risks, are we alive? Because life is about growing. Life is about changing. Relationships that come into our lives are about growth. Relationships, in our society, we tend to look at relationships as they are going to make me happy. They do if they're good relationships, but first they make you really upset because what happens is that they bring out all of our darkness. We fall in love with the other person because we're falling in love with the light in them. But if they are... Once we get into the power struggle, then all of our darkness comes out. And it's working through our darkness that makes us able to grow. It's like the butterfly. It's like the caterpillar. Are we going to stay as caterpillars or are we going to grow? Now, I see a caller on here, an 804 area code, but I don't see the hand up. I'm not sure if you're wanting to talk or not, but I'll unmute you and see if that works. Because I didn't see the little yellow thing that says you're supposed to talk, so I'm not sure how this works. Okay, sorry about this. Okay, 804 person, if you want to talk, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm in Virginia.
Hi, Hugh. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I just came across your show. I was listening, but it's very interesting what you were saying. I did have an encounter. I have some paranormal stuff I'm dealing with, but I have things in check, and I felt like I had a twin flame relationship,
mm-hmm.
and the person I was interacting with was a wonderful spiritual teacher, but unfortunately was deceptive behind the scenes and became manipulative and started projecting things onto my truth, which I wouldn't allow. I called her out once I saw her traits as being a narcissist, and that cut the relationship there pretty much. But I still feel so deeply loving of her, but I just send her light and love because she became threatening toward the end too. So I wish her the very best. I would always be there for her, but I'm not there to save her. And as I move on, it's again, she really helped me in some ways, and I'm grateful for that too.
Mm-hmm. So what made you feel like it was a twin flame relationship as opposed to, say, a karmic soulmate relationship?
I've had a lot of bizarre experiences in my life, which include UFO, paranormal, and near death.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed with a wife of 35 and a half years until she passed in January 2007. And she taught me the lesson that we're all here to learn. That's unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this other woman I came across last year on a radio show, and she claimed to be holding a place of unconditional love in her heart for mankind. So that really resonated so deeply with me. And off the show, we were having telephone conversations, and we mirrored each other unbelievably. I mean, one day she mentioned she noticed I'm 67, she's 58. She noticed the pimple. The next day I wake up with a pimple, and I say, what the heck is this?
Wow, okay.
Yeah, a very powerful woman, and again, I think our minds are very, it could be past life stuff, I don't know, but very well telepathically, I think, connected.
Yeah, so she's definitely a soulmate or a twin flame, and it sounds like, but you were healthy enough to recognize that she wasn't healthy enough, and so you stopped it, which is really, I have to applaud you for that.
Yes, I've had people say that. I still have such deep feelings, but I can't let my emotions override that, and I just continually send her light and love, and I just hope that, whatever, if she ever gets her together, that she'll work herself out of it. And I'm a spiritual person. I have a Christ consciousness.
Yes.
I believe anybody, whoever they feel the Creator is for them, but I have Jesus deep in my heart, and I've asked Jesus to just handle it. And I do that with anything I can't handle. I don't have the fear anymore. If I can't handle it, I just let Jesus handle it. And that's, even paranormal people have said, if your faith is that strong, then nobody can harm you in that regard.
Right.
So.
Right. I agree with that. Whether you call it Jesus, Christ consciousness, higher power, higher self, when we turn it over to that power, we can handle things that we couldn't handle on our own.
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, this woman manifested in other unique ways, too, from other past paranormal stuff that I had. She sort of was manifesting as two people in one that I had some problems with prior to this. So it's quite...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, and I have a ton of synchronicities. I don't know if...
Okay.
If I could give you my name, you can see a little bit of information on the Internet.
Oh, sure. Go ahead and give it,
yes,
and then our other people can... I'll look it up later on.
All right. Yes, it's Hugh, H-U-G-H, and the last name is Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. You'll see a number of things on the Internet. I'm working on a very big mission and vision of bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love.
Oh, that's
great. I was looking at this other woman to really be the divine feminine, helping me empower women and stuff, too, in that regard. But unfortunately, it didn't work out so far.
Okay, so you have a sense of that divine feminine and divine masculine combining, which is one of the twin flame missions or purposes of the twin flame union.
Yes, and I give my wife full credit. I would never have the feelings that I had if she hadn't shown me what unconditional love was. She was just a wonderful person. And there's actually a picture of her on the Internet on her wedding day on the blog creativity777.com. There's also a letter from President Obama to me on there related to the economy. And I'll just give a real quick poem. I dedicated it to her, and it's in President Ronald Reagan Library. It's only 3 lines long. It's titled Caring, Sharing. It reads, if you dare to care, then share. If you share, pay heed. God will reward every good deed. I'm looking for that to go all around the world, and I'm setting it up in a way that a percentage of all sales of items like coffee mugs and T-shirts and stuff will be ongoing to help the people of Haiti who can't help themselves. So I want people to awaken and to see there's all kinds of things that you can do, that we all have unlimited creativity. We just don't realize it because we're under some kind of authority since birth. But in our quiet moments, we have to get out of our heads into our hearts, align them with the Creator, ask for divine guidance on a daily basis. And the other big key is to be in gratitude always, no matter what your circumstance, and to take actions, not talk about things. But it's from taking the actions that you'll learn. If it's a bad action, you don't repeat it. If it's good, then you'll progress further.
Well, you sound like you get it to me, so I appreciate all your sharing and helping humanity. Did you see the movie Bridges of Madison County?
I did a while back. I don't, recall the details of it all, but I know it was a love story.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other impressions about it?
It's just so long ago that I saw it, and I'm trying to think. Who was the actor?
It was Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood.
Right. Yes. I if you're questioning me on the movie, I wouldn't have the particulars.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Well,
but I know
that's
what your show was about. So.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate you calling in, Hugh. That was great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for all your wonderful work, too. God bless.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. So thanks to Hugh for that call. That was really nice. He's quite a servant for humanity, and it was creativity777.com. Hugh, H-U-G-H, Traulsen, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N. He's doing good work in the world. Okay. Getting back to the movie, we have about 10 minutes left or 9 minutes left, and so I'll go over a little more things on the movie, but if there's anyone who wants to call in, 917-932-8881. In the movie, Robert Kincaid, the Clint Eastwood character, is asking Meryl Streep, Francesca, well, what's your husband like? And her first response is clean. His response is clean? That's how you describe your husband? Oh, that sounds real romantic. And then she describes him as a hard worker, honest, gentle, and a good father. But it's very interesting because when he said clean, it reminded me of a friend of mine a number of years ago who had a passionate feeling for this person. And she thought they were meant to be together, and she thought he was running away. He wasn't her twin flame, because her twin flame had actually died, but she recognized passion and calling when she saw it. But the guy ended up getting engaged to somebody else, and she felt like he was running away from passion and running away from the intensity that he could not handle with her. And so I remember we were together one time, and I asked this guy that she was interested in what his fiance was like. And he paused, and it was almost like he couldn't come up with an answer right away. And then I said, what do you like about her? And, oh, well, she loves Jesus. And that is a very good, admirable trait, to love Jesus. But it's like, what about you and her? What's between the two of you? And I was struck by it was similar to this answer in the movie. He's clean. It's like that's not a sign of a very passionate or connected relationship. Usually they would say something about adoring him, or the way Francesca talks in her memoirs about Robert Kincaid and how much she adores him and how everything about him was erotic, although it doesn't necessarily need to be that way. But there's this intense connection, this intense bond, this passion, even if it's not necessarily a sexual passion, although the sexuality usually is there as well. And Robert Kincaid, they talk about obsessions. And one of the things I think happens with a twin flame thing is it can become an obsession if it's not fulfilled, because your soul is almost like making you think of this person all the time, because there's something that you need to complete with them. Now, in a case like Hughes, where he made a conscious decision to not interact with a person who was unhealthy, you won't necessarily have an obsession. What he was saying about, I send her love and light all the time, that's what I do with my twin flame. I send him love and light all the time. But I still am not complete with my lessons with him because I haven't forgiven him completely. I thought I had, and then I realized I had not. And so when I haven't completed the work I'm supposed to do around him, it can take on a rather obsessional quality, because the soul is urging you onward and upward, and you're supposed to be doing something with this. So that will be a case if if your soul is knocking on your door and you're not listening, then it can become like it's bothering you all the time. And so if it's obsessional in your mind, it's like, what are you going to do with that? What is the obsession a message for you about? What is it telling you to do? And it's not that you're necessarily crazy. Like when I would go to therapists and say, I cannot stop thinking about this person. I've been in other relationships before. I've ended other relationships. I'm not codependent. I actually ended this one because he was not acting properly, so I'm not codependent where I would allow myself to be abused, and yet still I cannot stop thinking about him. The therapist did not understand that it was this twin flame calling, that I still had this need to understand this relationship, to forgive it, to move into my own higher self and the wholeness within myself. I didn't need him to complete me. But he was this model for this incredible love that could be attained, and yet I needed to attain it with myself, which I am doing and continue to do. But they labeled that as the obsession was somehow that I was sick. No, it wasn't that I was sick. It was that I needed to do some work, and I didn't know what it was, and my soul kept knocking on my door until I did the work. When I'm in a place of forgiveness and peace and oneness, there's no obsessions at all, and it's completely healed and whole, and I don't need his body here for that to be the case. It has nothing to do with bodies. You can be physically separated from this person for 20 years or lifetimes, and you are still with them all the time, which is what Francesca said, what I mentioned earlier. Francesca said, even if I never see him again, he is always in me and part of me. And yet, if I wasn't with my husband, that whole relationship would disappear. So what's happening as Francesca and Robert are winding up their 4 days, and she knows her family's going to come home and they have to stop, they end up getting into a fight. And she says, well, I suppose I'm just one more notch on your bedpost, and you have all these other women all around the world. So what's your routine? How do I handle this? Where do I fit in your harem of women around the world? Do I ever get to see you again or talk to you again? And he's offended. And he said, you think I do this with everybody? You think that I feel this way about everyone? And he said, I'm sorry if I gave you that opinion. I don't. This is different. This is completely different. And that's why I'm asking you to come away with me. And you only get this chance once in a lifetime. Now, actually, I believe that when we do our forgiveness lessons, when we do our spiritual work, we do get more chances. It may not be with that particular person, but we do get chances to love again. As evidenced in my life, I've had this chance to be in this relationship with a wonderful soulmate of mine, and I am so incredibly grateful. And that is because I took the chance when it was offered. This twin flame person couldn't come through, but I saw an opportunity over here, and it was very good. So I just got a message that we are winding up this show. And so I want to thank everyone for listening in. And I will be here every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. talking about twin flames and soulmates and other issues related to relationships, coming from my experience as a psychotherapist for 25 years. And we will also, I believe, be recording these, and I'll be posting them on my Facebook page. I have a Facebook page called Even Soulmates Get the Blues, and I also have a website, www.lauricoburn.com. That's Lori with two R's, Lorri Coburn, Coburn.com, and I'll be posting it on Twitter, et cetera. So I hope that you will join us and also call in with your questions about soulmates, because it is a tricky thing to navigate. I'm also giving a workshop at Crazy Wisdom Center in Ann Arbor this Saturday on twin And you can find that by going on my website, lauriecoburn.com. So thank you very much. I am off the air.
I guess.